Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. This is show number 89, and this week we are guestless. It's just Andrew and myself talking away. Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show 89. Andrew, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm better than you. You're sounding a bit nasally as though you've got a cold or something.
Yeah, I got a little bit of sinus pressure going on between going out surfing and getting flush sinuses and sanding a lot of some little wood projects in my garage. I need to get a better mask, so I think it's all catching up to me, you know. But I can still smell, so you know that means that's a good sign.
Well, it means you haven't got the seed disease. Virus.
Yeah, I don't feel like I have a fever with it, so I think it's just a sinus thing. So, but yeah. So, what you been up to? You've been got a new inflatable, seaworthy watercraft.
Yeah, that's very exciting, isn't it? So we've had an inflatable kayak for about 10 years, and it was a good quality one, but not as good as it could have been, you know. But it served us really well for 10 years. And it finally gave up the ghost on Friday evening. Julie and I were going to go and paddle on the River Ouse, which is just down the road from us. And so I went back online and had a look, see what was available, and spoke to some guy who was an agent for the type of kayak I was after. And the next day I had one delivered. So this is very exciting. Yeah, it's a slightly different shape to the one we had. It inflates just a lot quicker. It's the better seating design. It's got lumbar supports in the seat because I get a bit of back trouble. Right. And we're going to go out tomorrow, you know, and spend the day, take a picnic. I'll probably just going to take either a Holger or one of those crappy plastic panoramic point and shoot things, because I've been using those quite a bit and they're quite fun.
Are you going to bring along a secondary pull behind craft to carry all the camera stuff, or are you going to
No. I don't think I'd risk taking anything kind of with lenses in it and valuable or anything, you know.
Right. River feed into the fins? Is that something?
Well, yes, it does. At one end of it.
A tributary of it or something?
One end of it, it joins to what's called a cut or a man-made river that heads right to the north in Norfolk when it goes to the sea. So it is actually connected to the sea, but there's barriers, you know, like weirs and gates that control it. So at that end of the river, we go camping sometimes as a small campsite. And although it's fresh water, there are a family of seals that live in there, and they've got trapped, you know, and they're bred in there. So they seem to be surviving, so it's great. So we're looking forward to that. Last weekend, I got out with some cameras for the first time because, you know, during this period of lockdown, it's been... although I could have gone out into the fens, you know, and no one would have seen me. I just felt kind of awkward, really, because you're not supposed to go out for that sort of thing.
Yeah, me too.
So the regulations or the advice has relaxed a little bit in the last week or 10 days. So now you can kind of go outside and... a bit more unrestrictive. You've got to be back home in the evening, so you still can't go camping or you can't take your caravan away.
So you got a curfew still in place?
Well, yeah, kind of. You just got to be back home. Although the Prime Minister said, which I think was a mistake, he said you can from tomorrow you can drive anywhere you want to. So if you want to go to a beach somewhere, you can, as long as you're back, you know. So of course that means everyone's flooding to the beach, and the beach has got a bit overcrowded. So I went out on Sunday last week, and I took my large format camera, some sheet film. I took a 6x17 back. I took the pinhole blender camera that Chris sent me the post. I took a Foma Pan pinhole camera. So this is a pinhole camera I've made with one of those metal cans that holds the 100 feet of film, you know, 35 mil film. So what I've got in there, I'm staring at it now, is an 8 inch length of X-ray film.
Yeah.
And it's wedged in behind two little stirrers, you know, for coffee stirrers. I stuck to the side, it's painted black. I drilled a hole
inside, so you're gonna be laying it down flat, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be flat, and so it's gonna be a wrap round, you know, long image. I went on the Mr. Pinhole website and worked out the optimum pinhole diameter for this. I'm going to say it focal length, and it was 0.4 of a millimeter, apparently. Because the depth from the pinhole to the back is 110 millimeters, and Mr. Pinhole said 0.4. And it's looked at the coverage, you know, like the image circle.
Mm-hmm.
That looked to be just big enough to go 8 inches, but who knows?
Right.
So I took a piece of, I've had some of this 5 thou brass sheet. So I bought this from probably Amazon.com. 5 thou brass sheet, 4 inches by 10 inches sheet.
What? That's super thin.
It is, yeah. So what it means is I take a little, tiny little beading needle that Joe Baker sent me in the post. See, all my friends send me things.
That's
Joe sent me this very tiny little beading needle stuck into a wooden holder. So what I was doing is, with this 5 thou sheet on a piece of wood, yeah, I'm just gently rotating this needle, the point of it, until I get the bulge on the other side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Someone told us how to do this on a previous podcast. And then I just sand it down on the back. And then I get a tiny little hole. Now, I'm not sure how big that hole is, but what I've got is this little set of cheap Chinese drills, you know, those tiny little diddly things, and they start at 0.1 of a mil. Oof. And they go up to 1 mil.
Sounds aggravating.
So I'm not actually using those drills to make the hole, because the hole's already there. What I'm doing, because it's the hole I reckon I'm making with this little needle is probably about 0.1 or 0.2, because I take the 0.3 or 0.4 drill bit and I just rotate it gently in the hole, and it just sort of it reams its way through. So I reckon that's a fairly accurate. I'm getting a fairly accurate, and then I rub it down again. So I've put this 0.4 pinhole in there, and because this sheet is really thin, it bends quite easily, you know. And I've stuck it to the inside. I didn't know whether to put the sheet on the outside or the inside. I have no idea, really. I was trying to work out if I put it on the outside, would the thickness of the can give some vignetting? Probably. Mm. I don't know. So at the moment, it's on the inside. So that's that camera. That's the Fomapan film camera.
Film camera.
And then I had the Illy ILLY medium roast ground coffee tin. So this has got the metal. Hang on, can you hear this?
Yeah.
That's got the metal lid, which has got a screw. It screws in, so it's nice and tight. But I've got some electrical tape around it. Now, I calculated with this one. The other one had an calculated f-stop of 2. But I reckon both of them are about 200 or 220, something like that. This one's got a 0.3 of a millimeter hole in it, apparently. And it's got a depth of 85 millimeters. So it's like one of Mike Walker's depth cameras. So I've got in this can, I've got 4x5 paper that Neil Piper sent me. And it's orientated in the landscape way. So yeah, what I did was I measured 2 inches up and drilled the pin, put the pinhole in. And then I put some coffee, glued some coffee stirrers inside such that it holds a 4x5 piece of paper in the landscape format. So although it looks like it should be a portrait format camera, it's actually orientated in the landscape because I figured that I'd use it more in that way. But I could also just turn it on its side and shoot it as a portrait, couldn't I?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And the other useful thing was that I took with me last weekend, so in this pinhole blender camera that Chris sent me, was a magnetic tripod.
Yeah.
Head, did you get one of those? Did he send you one of those, or do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, he did. He sent me one. Mm-hmm.
So, for those listening who don't know what I'm talking about, this is it's probably about 2 inches, circular, magnetic, with a little hole in the bottom which screws onto the 1/4-inch thread of your tripod quick release socket or your tripod head, and then you can immediately just, as long as your tin is made of metal that is magnetic, it'll stick on, which is really, really good. And you could make one, I guess. And I'm sure somebody in the Lensless podcast Facebook group has made one.
They sell those. They sell those almost the exact same setup at hardware stores.
Do they?
The same thing. Yeah, I saw one the other day.
Oh, well,
kind of already okay. Ready to go. You might have to. I think Chris has re-drilled it so that the quarter 20 threads of your tripod screw mount. Screw on your tripod mount. Yeah, works with it, you know.
Yeah, because there's two. You could get caught out because one of my tripods has got this. There's a bigger size, isn't there? There's a quarter inch, and there's another thread diameter, isn't there? So some of those Manfrotto quick release plates they have. They're adaptable, aren't they, for two thread sizes? But anyway, that was very good. So I stopped on my trip out last weekend. I stopped at three locations. One, an old rustic barn, you know.
Yeah.
And I put one of my Illy pinhole cameras on the magnetic tripod thingy bob and took a picture, and I used my large format camera. Then I moved on to another location, and I was really excited about this next location, and I got my large format shots out of the way. And then I went to I'm going to use the Foma Pan pinhole camera and the pinhole blender, and looked for this magnetic holder, and I took everything out of the car. Couldn't find it. Anyway,
was stuck at the bottom of the camera.
No, I did. I kept looking on the bottom of the cameras, and as if it would suddenly appear, you know.
Right.
And in the end, I packed up. Like, I got so frustrated. In the end, I packed up and drove back to the place where I'd photographed the barn, and I found it on the grass, in the grass.
At least you found it.
So I didn't get to use the Foma Pan or my second Illy camera. Oh, and I also had the other coffee camera. I've got is. What I call my Cosmo Photo coffee tin. It's only Cosmo Photo because I've got a Cosmo Photo sticker on it. And this is a Nescafe Gold Blend tin. It's not quite square. It's got a very gentle curve on the back, but it's a very different shape. It's more of a flat plane. And I've got a... don't know what size hole in. I don't think I bothered measuring this one. And I've got a fancy shutter on this one. I made a little shutter out of the brass shim. It just swings out of the way.
Right.
And that's got paper in it as well. And
paper.
Took me a little while to work out how to load the pinhole blender. I had a little conversation with Chris. It's a little bit fiddly, you know.
Yeah.
But it's loaded. You have to get the right number of turns. I want to shoot it's either four or five separate images you get. And each image, I want to use all three pinholes. And I've got the kind of ideas of shots I want in the landscape. Yeah. And
most of those pano cameras like that are kind of fiddly to load. I hate to use fiddly, but just the nature of them having to wrap around and come back.
Yeah, you know. This was a little bit cumbersome having to hold the film tight. You know, he's got some little spring flappy things that press down on the film to stop it giving fat.
Spring flappy things.
Yeah, to stop you getting fat rolls. You know.
Right.
So I had to tweak those a bit because they weren't quite in the right place. But
like the ones that are on the Zero Images cameras?
Yeah, I can't remember. No.
They got those little metal boinger things that you...
Yeah, they're a bit like that. Yes, they're a bit like that, that kind of idea.
Flick them with your finger, they go boingers.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Very cool.
So I got that all loaded up. So I'm not going to get out now because we're going canoeing tomorrow. I probably won't take... pinhole cameras, or I might take the coffee tins. I won't take the blender there. I can't be fiddling about with that while I'm balancing in the canoe, in the kayak.
You're going to be paddling, buddy.
Julie does that. I just sit there. I just keep the canoe and keep the kayak in a straight line, and let me take a pinhole picture.
Yeah. Enjoy yourself.
So other than that, I tidied the darkroom up a bit this morning. I emptied the chemicals out of my print processor and gave it a bit of a clean. I'm talking to you.
Yeah, cool.
So I got out with some pinhole cameras, but only managed to shoot one. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I've been fiddling around and trying this and trying that. I took the little anamorphic camera that Chris sent me, and I put...
He sent me one. I haven't figured it out yet. Do you want to tell people about that? Describe it, because I'm holding it in my hand and it's a weird thing.
The anamorphic with the screw top?
Yeah, the little toilet roll thing.
yeah, that's what it looks like. That's what I used my magnetic base on, you know. I put it on the bottom of mine.
So you only use one. You only used one of the holes, did you?
I did, and I figured out. Okay, so what I did was I took and I put my piece of infrared filter that I have under the lid, you know.
Yep.
And I put, because I have some 4x5 infrared, the sheet film, and the top quarter of the images came out great, but by the time it got to the bottom, I'm going to have to like triple my exposure, you know what I mean? Because the fall off is so bad. But if you use the bottom hole, I think that's what Chris was saying. If you use the bottom hole, it'll make up for that, you know?
Well, yeah. So why don't you describe using your best descriptive talents?
Okay.
What this thing looks like?
It's just a little cardboard tube that's about the size of a toilet paper roll.
Yeah, it looks just like that, doesn't it?
And it has a metal bottom on it that's been really, really excellently applied.
Yes, it's kind of crimped. The screw thread is kind of crimped onto this thick plastic tube, isn't it?
And then you just have like a metal lid like you would find on a spice jar or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Painted black inside. There's a pinhole drilled on the top and a pinhole drilled in the bottom. My bottom has a piece of that light tight metal tape that's been painted black over one side. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think mine has as well. I'm staring into it now like a telescope.
Well, I mean, like I put a piece on the bottom of mine just... so I didn't have to worry about the magnet coming off because I was trying to.
Oh, I see.
Trying to figure out, right. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I just put a piece of tape over because I was going to be putting that metal tripod socket thing.
Right.
But what I'm going to have to do is, if I'm going to keep shooting infrared with this thing, I'm going to have to put a filter on top and a filter on the bottom, and just lay it somewhere.
So this is doing my mind in this dual-ended anamorphic pinhole camera.
Yep.
Normally, when I think of an anamorphic pinhole camera, I've only learnt what these things are since we've been doing the show, is a tube or a tin can or something. And instead of the pinhole being on the side, like on the radius or whatever of the tin can, it's actually in the lid. And the idea is you kind of point the pinhole at your subject and raise it up a bit so it's kind of at an angle. That's how I understand it anyway.
Yeah.
But with this one, when you've got you've got a pinhole at each end, that's just bonkers, isn't it?
Well, I think that so how it works for me, you know, you put the piece of 4x5 film or whatever you're going to put in there.
Sorry, Corey, does that wrap all the way around pretty much? Is that?
Yeah, 4x5 fits perfect.
Right.
The ends touch. There's just a little tiny bit of a gap between the 2 inches, but for the most part, it wraps all the way around, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that the best way to display these would be to scan it and print it really, 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 really big, like big enough that you could, like, walk into.
Wow.
And have the 2 inches touch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or big enough that you could, like, stand up inside of a tube or something and have the 2 inches touch so that you're viewing it like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I just can't at the minute imagine what the resultant image is going to look like, you know?
Well, when I scanned it and you're looking at it, I posted a picture of,
did you?
You know, like a water hose on Instagram.
I haven't looked.
I took a picture of my water hose, like with the where the water hose bib is, you know?
Yeah.
And looking at it straight on, you don't really know. But if you knew it was anamorphic and you can kind of, in your mind, make the 2 inches touch, you'll see what the picture was, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
Yeah, because
kind of crazy.
To get that kind of Michael Weitzman wiggly train or the classic building on a hill, you know, that makes it kind of pointy. You're having to tilt the camera up slightly. Well, if you do that, you'll be pointing one end up at the subject, but the other one will be pointing down at the floor.
Yeah.
So I'm on your Instagram, Pinhole Canon Instagram.
Yeah.
3,459 followers.
Yep.
Do you pay people?
I do.
So, There's a picture of your a trailer, infrared trailer. There's a picture of someone eating something with a chest of drawers in the background, maybe. Is that, what's that? And there's a picture of your shadow. What am I looking for?
That's okay, so keep going. Okay, so you see where the flower is?
Yep.
The next image after that?
Yep. Cooking oven temperature thing.
It's called What's with the Long Spigot?
I'm looking at the wrong one.
You can see the end of the water hose where you screw it onto the bottom of the thing.
After the yellow flower. Is it the yellow flower?
White.
Oh, I'm looking at a different flower.
No, no, no. You got to go way back up to the top. This is 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the fifth image from the first one.
Oh. Oh, I see. Gotcha.
Yeah, so.
So you've said, what's with this, with the long spigot? This anamorphic view is going to take some getting used to. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not sure
what that was.
I did see this. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And what I did was I took my tripod and I put that magnetic base onto it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm.
And put it on my tripod. And literally the camera was pointed almost horizontally at that spigot,
mm-hmm.
you know? So in your mind, if you take the top and the bottom and touch them,
yeah,
you can see what I'm talking about. Because, okay, so see that piece, see where the spigot goes down, and it looks like there's a piece of pipe that goes straight down, like it's going to the ground, kind of.
Yeah.
That's the ground side. And then if you look right above the spigot, you see that board sticking straight up.
I can see the board, yeah. Sticking
straight. That's the end of the fence that that spigot is on. It's crazy. You see what I'm saying?
Like, I think I'll have to stick, I might stick a bit of paper in this tomorrow and take it out with
me. Yeah. It's crazy. That's what, if you look at it that way, if you touch both ends, so if you could make a print that was like maybe like 3 or 4 feet wide that you could touch it, you could stand up inside of it, you could turn inside looking at it, you know, it would make sense because it would be touching, I think. I don't think it makes sense.
It would be really fun to do this in a sort of city center, wouldn't it? You know, a busy city center.
Yeah. But if you look at it this way, okay, so this picture, I only used one pinhole. And the exposure came out pretty good. The end with the... You could tell the end, the bright side on the left where the water hose is was closest to the top of the pinhole and the right side was farthest away, you know? But that exposure came out pretty good. But when I did it with the infrared, you could see like maybe the first a quarter of the image was good. And then by the time you got to the far right, it was completely... underexposed, you know, like I'm gonna have to like triple that exposure time.
Depends on the type of film. What film was this you were using?
This was that had to be the Ortho, the Ilford Ortho.
Okay.
Yeah, I just rated it at 80. Well, it's 100, and Kath said the rate. She rated it at 80.
I haven't got any of that now.
But with doing the stand development at this point, it doesn't really matter what you rate it at. You know?
So you're using, you've tagged, hashtagged in here, you've tagged FilmLab app. Is that what you're using to digitize? Tell me how you use that and what you're doing.
I take a piece of plexiglass that's like hazy, you know, like a cream color. You can't see through it, but it transmits, spreads light
some light
well.
Yeah. Like a diffuser sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And I take my, and I put that up on the window. I have a piece that's maybe it's about like 5x7. I put that up on the window with a couple pieces of tape. And then I have my my scanner insert that you can like lift it up and you can put your 120 film in and then you drop the lid and it snaps. You know what I mean? I take that and I hold that up over the window and then I just take one hand and just take the FilmLab app and just take a picture of it.
Okay, so you could use if you've got a light box, you know, one that spreads the light quite well, you could use that.
Yeah.
Is the FilmLab app the one that was released, taken a few years to come out, and it's still, people are still tweaking it, or?
I think he's already gotten the, I mean, he's still doing, he said he's going to constantly be doing updates on it, but I think he's released it. Like, I think he's kind of got it to the point where, like, you know, I backed it, so I've been getting it
right for a while. Right. So is it? And it was one you can go and buy now on the from the App Store, I guess, is it?
Yeah, I think you can. I think you can pick it up. Yeah, yeah, you totally can. And that's how I've been scanning. I mean, like, I haven't even been using the scanner anymore. Everything that you've seen on Instagram that I've been putting up has been with the Film Lab app.
Okay.
You know,
is it easy to use?
Yeah, you just open it up and then you pick black and white or color. And I think you can change you have the ability to change frames per second. Like if you were using a different light source, you know, does that make sense?
Yes. If it's a flickering light source.
Yeah. Like, if you're using like a incandescent, not like a digital, you know, you can change that. And it has all kinds of adjustments. I mean, you can contrast and saturation, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Highlights. And, I enjoy it. I think it's faster than scanning. I mean, if you were going to make humongous scans from it, probably would still want to scan, of course, but.
Well, you know, my thoughts on scanning. I scanned some this morning, but that was for the blog, you know, it was, some panoramic, well, sort of panoramic, 35mm shots from one of those plastic cameras.
Right. Yeah.
But that wasn't too bad. So I just used the little thumbnail thing, you know, and then I can select them all and just do a quick adjustment on the.
But the Film Lab app, it automatically will invert your negative, you know.
Yeah.
And you can just look at it with your camera, and even if you don't, even if you're not using it for like your main scanning method, once you get everything cut and you get it sleeved, and you just want to look at them, be like, okay, which one do I want to print, you know, or like. Yeah. It totally would save you time from having to run a contact sheet because you can just go over and just look at it. You can tell right off the bat what's going to work and what's not. You know? Okay. So,
yeah. Well, I'd be interested if anyone else is using it out there. Anybody bothering to listen to us? just shout up into the Facebook group. I tend to follow discussions on there more than I do on Instagram, really. Yeah. I look at the pretty pictures on Instagram. Then if something catches my eye, I go and read it.
Yeah. And then I've been doing, I have a bunch of infrared film that I need to shoot here. And I think once I finish with this, I think I'm going to take a break from it.
What, making pictures or scanning?
Just shooting infrared.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, you're infrared. You're the infrared man, aren't you, really?
Yeah. But it's getting, I hate to be the guy that says it's getting so expensive, but I mean, you know, it's getting $10-$11 a roll now, you know.
What film?
The 4x5 is $250 a shot.
Which film is that then? Is that the Rolly infrared stuff?
That's what I've been using. That's the only one just about left.
Apart from the Ilford one with the extended. What's it, isn't it?
Yeah. You only got a couple options, you know. So, mm-hmm. I think Mark shoots a lot in Hawaii, and I think he's using the Rolly. I don't think he uses the Ilford.
No, I think it's a Rolly. I do have a roll of HIE, you know, high speed infrared in the fridge.
Nice.
I used some of it years ago, and I was crap at it then. So I'm.
Is it a black and white?
Yeah, I'm dead frightened of using it now.
Well, send it to me. You don't want it.
I might send it to you. Message me give me your address. So the last film.
Is it 35mm?
Yeah. You don't shoot 35, do you?
Yeah. I don't even have a 35mm camera. I guess I could make panel camera.
I might give it away. I might put it on the face. Because somebody out there, there's far more talented people out there than me, could make some decent use of it. So,
Well, it depends how old it is. And
you know. Yeah, it's not new, is it? I bought it a couple of years ago on a whim. I think I paid about... would be $12 for it, so it wasn't actually too bad, really. Yeah. You know,
I was gonna say, I shot that film when it was still being produced,
yeah, me too.
And that's the infrared that I've been trying to get back to with shooting the infrared now. And I just can't get, you know, it's just not, you don't get that wood effect, you know what I mean? And so I'm kind of like. I don't know. I'm just kind of...
Don't start talking about wood again. You got us into trouble last time.
Well, that's the guy that his name was John Wood, and I think he was the guy that started. He didn't start infrared photography, but I think he was the one that found the extended, you know, the effect of it, I guess. So, like when your eyes go black.
Yeah.
Like that look when your eyes, when you're, where you have that halo around everything.
So, at what point does it become? So, the wood effect, which I've heard people talking about, at what point what are we talking about there? Is it when you get the luminous kind of trees and black skies and stuff, or is it something else?
That the angelic glow of everything has like that fuzzy to it, you know what I'm talking about? And like if you take a portrait of someone, their eyes go completely jet black, like they have, you have no detail in their eyes, you know?
Well, you know, I don't go into gimmicky photography, so if you want my roll of HIE 35mm, I'll gladly send it to you. But the last roll of film I sent to you, which was when we first started the podcast, I don't think I've ever seen a result from that. So
I didn't get any results from it. I like went to develop it, and it was like it was ridiculous. I just gave up. It was like you can't you need to wash it, but you can't like it was. I'm not going to say it sucked and it was horrible because it was fun. But you just have to have a really soft touch with it. You know what I mean? Like, you really have to be patient with it because it just doesn't.
I still have some of the sheet film. I found it lurking in the fridge. I'd forgotten I'd got it. I bought some fiber paper from AG Photographic and I was putting it away in the fridge. And I saw this little packet. I thought, what's that? And it was the washi 4x5 film, which I've talked about this before. It's a bit of a bugger to load in the cut film holder.
Yeah, that's the same thing. That's the problem that I don't like about the infrared and the 4x5 sheets, like the acetate base or the film, the plastic base.
Mm-hmm.
Is so thin. It's so thin that it's like a step above tissue paper.
Yeah,
like it's just a little bit above that washi, I'm sure.
Well,
it's
you can buy Kai and or Tina Rowe. She makes pictures. I think Kai does as well. She makes pictures on washi paper. Different types of grade. There are different types of grades of Japanese paper, and they use it for lampshades and all sorts of stuff, don't they?
Yeah, that super thin stuff.
Yeah, so it's a bit like that, but it's already coated with emulsion. So I the last time I used it in a 4x5 cup film holder,
you put some plastic.
I put a clear piece of 4x5 film that I've had. Sometimes it has a slight fog on it, which actually acts like a little bit of a neutral density, but basically it's clear. So I used that and made a sandwich between the washi film and this plastic and slid both into the dark side. And that kind of worked. And I got quite a nice, very contrasty negative. I think I rated it at something like 6 or 3 or something. I don't know, 'cause it's 12. Yeah. But even that, I didn't get much. Even by rating it down there, I didn't get much in the way of shadow detail. I read somewhere that particular one, I can't remember which washi number it is, but is quite well suited for things like buildings and architecture. And it says probably best not to use it in the landscape, but I'd already used it in the landscape by the time I read that.
There you go.
So I don't know. That's sitting in sitting in my fridge for one day when I'm feeling creative.
And I've been using my little Zero Image 2000 camera a lot.
Have you?
I'm just shooting, yeah.
I do like that.
I've quit trying to, you know, I just carry it with me. If I see something, I'll just take a picture of it, you know, kind of just keep a camera with me to deal.
I thought you were doing that with your reality, or have you broken your reality?
No, I do that too. you know, I kind of will shoot one for a little while, and then I really like the look of the zero image with the wood, you know.
Just sniff it.
It's a great smell. But I don't like, I get agitated sometimes with the advance, you know, because I'll stop and I'll be like, oh, just a little bit too far, whatever. But, you know.
Mine, well, you could buy camera. One of those. Todd does a replacement top. But yeah. The trouble is it's black.
Printed like plastic. It. Yeah, so I don't like it.
It ruins the aesthetic of the. Yeah. Sorry, Todd.
It does. Sorry, aesthetic Todd. Of it.
But my Zero is a bit old and battered now. And I last really used it on a trip, camping trip last year by the seaside. And I set it up on some rocks and then the seawater just flew over the top of it. And it's got a bit gummed up, you know, because I've got one of those cable release adapters on it. Yeah. And it was getting a bit stuck. I recently squirted some WD-40 up it the other day, and that seems to have loosened it up a bit. But it's all a bit battered now, but it works well still, you know.
I've been shooting with Todd's camera. Speaking of Todd,
the Oscar
box turtle. Yeah. Oh. No, the box turtle.
Oh, the box turtle.
Box turtle, yeah. Which is the box and box plastic one, you know.
I think I've got a sheet of paper in mine, but I need to go in the darkroom and check.
You got a box turtle too?
No, not a box turtle. I've got the Harman Obscura, similar thing, isn't it?
Oh yeah, same. Yeah, just a different focal length.
I was when I'm waiting for lockdown. Well, lockdown is kind of finished, but anyway, I'm waiting for life to turn a little bit more normal.
Right.
And have you watched any of Mr. Holger's videos he does on YouTube when he does Don's?
I need to go watch him.
Go watch Don's the one he did one Don's of camera? Don's camera. He did one recently all about pinholes, and he showed.
Yeah, he sent me a thing about it.
Yeah, look at it because it was really good. I commented on it. He shows his foam core cameras that he makes, and he talked about them on the show with us. But it's easy once you see them using it. So he's got the one that he's made with four separate pinholes, you know, with dividers inside, so you can put, I think you can put one sheet of paper in, and when you close it up like a clamshell, the dividers act as a, you know, as a divider on the paper, so it automatically breaks it into four frames. And he shows his little baby ones he's made, and then this huge one, you know, proper big boy camera that takes, I want to say it's more than 8x10, but it might just be 8x10. But, you know, all of these things cost him very little to make. He's just making them out of foam core and you know, black tape, some kind of black tape. So I'm going to get myself some foam core. Now I've got into the tin can bug. The foam core is the next step.
I got some big giant barrels are probably 45 or 50 gallon barrels, food grade barrels that had little tiny pickles in them.
Mega pickles.
Gherkins.
How many
label says the gherkins.
So you get a lot of mega pickles in that pinhole camera, won't you? It must be really high quality.
I think I'm going to put the biggest sheet of paper I can find in it. Make my mega pickles. My mega is gherkins. The gherkins in brine is what the sticker on the sides of them say.
Mm.
But I'm thinking about putting a six. I was thinking maybe using like a solar can and just setting it out of my yard, you know, because it's so big. I mean, I can't take it and tape it to a pole and around, leave it anywhere. You know what I mean? Like it's 4 feet tall, you know, a meter and a half tall. So
you need to get some of that Ilford or paper or something that I have on a roll, don't you? You know, that's,
yeah.
Unroll it. You need to get in touch with somebody who's got a roll of paper.
Come on, Andrew, work your magic. Here you go.
Yeah, you haven't got anyone around your way, have you?
No.
So with all these cameras that we're excitedly using and making it, what about projects? Have you got anything to focus on? You know,
I just shooting, just having fun.
iPhone-y, right, using now. It like an iPhone, which is good.
Yeah, I just kind of carry it with me, and, you know.
I've got some
easy here, easy Yeah.
I was looking back at some reality pictures. When I first got the reality so subtle camera, I made a series of pictures in the Fens, and with the big thinking that I was going to make it into a little run of pictures, you know. So I just remembered the other day when I was looking back through my Flickr, and I thought, okay. So next time I go out, I need to just take that out and work on, try and nail down a little series of images.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, I did post onto the Facebook group earlier that we were going to just very quickly dive into the Flickr group. Okay. And so
I'm already looking at it.
Are you? Excellent. Yeah. Let me look at it as well.
And I like this shot. Where was
it? Are you starting at the top in the group pool?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just staring at
it. I like all the shots.
They're great, aren't they? So we're folks listening, yeah. If you're not Flickr fans, we haven't promoted Flickr for a long time, but we do have 175 lovely people in there and 2,600 photos. 23 discussions, which actually isn't bad for a Flickr these days.
2,000 photos, and we're going to talk about every single one of them right now.
Yeah, I did share. No, dear old Zeb Andrews has been posting.
Yeah.
Cherry trees.
Yeah. Is that one here?
Yeah, just two or three down. Big panoramic thing, cherry tree.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Color thing. And then he did a bit further down, he's done some as well. You've got a picture in there.
I do.
Well, Corey, that's not you though, is it? No, that's not you. No. Some other Corey.
What picture is it?
Some other
Corey.
river with a rock and a little bit of waterfall in the background.
River with a rock. By Corey. Is that me?
I don't know.
No, that's not me. That's not me. Yep. That's my alternate universe Corey.
Just below that, Zeb has been using some infrared by the looks of it.
Where?
Just below. He's got his own shadow right in the middle.
Oh, with that tree?
So he's got his own shadow, and then almost echoing his shape is a big spreading horse chestnut type tree.
Yeah. See, he's using the Efke film. And he's rating his filter at 6 stops, which I rate mine at like 9.
Yeah. So the film is 100 ISO to start with, then, yeah. Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's what it says. Well, it's rated at ISO. I don't know what it's the box, you know, speed is.
Oh, I see. Yeah. He's probably worked that out from experience as well, based on it being an old film.
Yeah. Yeah,
so what's he using? Oh, reality is so subtle, 6x12, so we have that camera. Is there plenty of wood in that picture? I don't know. Or not.
but see, like, that's... I mean, I don't know that film personally, but it might just be like an extended range. It's not like the full... because it doesn't quite do it. I mean, like, that tree in the middle is obviously green, and the grass is obviously green, and there's a couple of trees, smaller trees, just to the left of that big one that you can see are starting to turn white. Yep. You know, and, like, with that Kodak HIE film, this would be, like, the very beginning of the effect on that film. You know what I mean? Like, this would be, like, maybe not that bright of a day.
Yeah.
You'd get an effect like this if it wasn't direct sunlight. You know what I mean? So, like, where this is stopping is where the Kodak would just be starting to ramp up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What was catching your eye? I think you were going to tell us what was catching your eye.
Oh, the very first picture.
Yeah, right? That's...
Datos?
Yeah.
It looks like he did a multiple exposure of a fence or something, and he got it, like, to do that wavelength heartbeat thing right in the middle where it overlapped.
Yeah, I was going to say we'll read the description, but it's in Spanish.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Double exposure, I reckon. Pinhole.
Yeah.
Tiempo. Says, tiempo. Tiempo. So time is approximately 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Estenopiquia. That means pinhole. Tomato tin. Tomato.
So it says 4 minutes, but it says 2 minutes at two exposures of 2 minutes right after four minutes in the parentheses there. It says two minute exposures.
And he's used F55. He's used Foma Speed Variant 312 paper.
Multi-grade paper, yeah.
Taken, still live picture taken at my home balcony.
Yeah.
Well, we're not sure what it is you're looking at, Peko, but we love it.
It's his fence. It's his fence that he took two exposures of.
Ah.
You see?
I can see in the back. I'm looking at the very bold design at the front, but behind
but look
it.
At the, look around the borders. Mm. You can see like the fence. Like he just took a picture and then he flipped his camera over and then did another exposure.
So what's
then, like,
that effect at the front then where the big black bars are going up and...
That's just where it overexposed itself and it came through as darker.
Ah, you're a clever so-and-so, aren't you?
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he got... It's pretty cool.
It really is.
Bravo.
And Frank Kernan, just below that. Could we just take an easy way out by picking the recent ones? He's used his first reality, so subtle... 6x17 roll.
Kerman. Oh, that's with the boat in the mountain back there?
Yep. Nice straight horizon.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Some solography.
Oh. Where do you see that?
Just at the top. Just below Frank's picture.
I don't see any solography.
Yeah, you do.
Where? I see Iron Bridge, and then I see Mystical Door.
In between Iron Bridge and Mystical Door, there is a picture called 0488.
So, I don't have that picture.
Oh, well, it says specially for Andrew, not for Corey.
That's what it says.
Have you paid your Flickr subscriptions? That's why.
No, I don't.
Someone's making a camera.
I ain't paying the man.
Oh, there's our guest.
I'm not paying the man nothing.
Our guest who you can't seem to get on the show, Jonas. Look, he's making a quick and simple 35mm pinhole panorama camera. See that?
I like how he says quick and simple.
There doesn't look to be anything quick and simple about that.
Once you break out that Brüller thing there with the two pointy tips on it, that caliber, then I'm out. That's too much for me.
Oh,
well
done, yeah. Jonas. Well done, Jonas.
Hope you're feeling better. Jonas was supposed to join us, but he's says he was having problems from the birch trees. He's allergic to them, and I guess they're blooming maybe.
Okay.
And he, we'll get him back. Because yeah. I like Jones.
He does some great stuff. Mm-hmm. The the one that is very easy to miss, in fact, I said easy to miss. Oh, there it is. Below Jonas's, there's our good friend and former guest, Mr. Jiffy Cat.
Yeah.
Has posted a very moody, I'll say paper negative. I don't know whether it is or not. See that one?
What, this picture? The Stone Age Romeo?
Mm-hmm. Mm. The hands, a little bit of light on the face.
In the face? Yeah. Wonder what he shot it with. Paper?
Come on, Jiffy. Yeah, well, I would say paper, but it's got that paper negative look about it.
And then...
Just
a few frames before that, there's another picture by me of my alternate universe wife sitting on a rock.
Yeah.
Sitting still.
You're not a Mormon, are you? How many wives have you?
No. Been? Not in this life.
I better follow this, Corey, just in case it is you. Who are you, Corey? But he's using a zero image with some cine still look. There you go.
Yeah, that 50D.
Yeah, I posted some in, what did I post it on? I think maybe, I posted it into a WordPress blog where I used 800T in December. I can't remember whether I put it on Instagram or not, but I got some nice indoor pinhole shots with 800T. I'd go back and use that again in the pinhole camera. I think I had to guess at all exposures because there was no guidance. And as for reciprocity, failure, who knows?
Who knows? It's a myth that reciprocity.
So I read someone was asking about Junior Wyatt was asking someone to explain it to him.
into Facebook. Yeah, I saw that too. I was late to the party on that one, and I was getting ready to type a response, and then there's like 60 responses. I'm like, yeah, I think everybody's got it covered.
A lot of people chimed in. Kevin Camp is doing some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
His little graveyard shots. Well done, Kevin. There's Corey again.
Mm-hmm. It's me again.
Check it out.
And that's a cool
I one. Like this series of by Simon Kudia, Kai, I'm going to butcher this.
Seglisky.
Yes. He's done a series of very similar presented full frame 4x5 scans of trees in his neighborhood. And they're presented in a way a bit like, the famous couple, new topographics couple, Bircher, were they the German couple who photographed water towers, you know, and arranged them in a grid pattern. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I haven't seen that.
So that was in the 60s, probably. They pioneered that form of photography, which is kind of mundane. It now goes under the label of topographics. They photograph water tower, and put them in a grid pattern. And it kind of reminds me of that, but this is trees.
I like this shot he did, number 6, where they've obviously been pruning the tree for the power line running through it, and then you see the power line going straight to the horizon, you know? Number 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And they've cut the tree.
Yep.
And you get the power line going all the way from the top of the frame all the way to the vanishing point, you know?
Yeah, good. Simon?
Well done, Simon.
Well done. See, that's what I mean. So he's using his pinhole camera to present a coherent sort of theme, isn't he? He hasn't said what he's using. Oh, is he his? He did it for Worldwide Pinhole Day. Paper negative. There we go.
I like this shot of much farther down where it says, "Wash your face in my sink" by Dan Smith. What's he using? He's using an undo.
Where are we looking?
Just down a bit. There's a picture of a sink with some Subway towel on the back wall, and then there's a toothbrush, and it's down a little ways from Simon's.
Some anamorphic things as well I've just passed by Pinhole Blender Man. Oh, there we go. Wash your face in my sink. Yeah, I did a picture like that. It's on my Instagram, but I put the camera in the sink and I cleaned my teeth above it, so I've got the faucet. And then me looking down into the camera, cleaning my teeth.
Hmm.
Ruined it when I turned the tap on, but anyway.
Yeah.
So Chris has posted some using the... He says, I'm assisting at a workshop at Penland called the Digital Panorama. Don't like the sound of that.
Where did you see that at?
A bit up from the wash your face picture. For this image, I use the camera. I intend to use a 5-quart paint can with 6 pinholes.
Who's that?
Chris.
Chris? Oh, right here. Second floor deck?
Mm-hmm. No, front deck, this one. There's 2 of them. I'm looking at the one called front deck. Oh,
I see.
Deck.
Yeah. I got you. I'm looking at that one. Mm. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Chris. 6 pinholes.
Wow.
So he's creating, he's looking every which way, isn't he? Every which way.
Every which way, Belus.
Gonna sing it.
I don't know what is it. What are we singing?
The song "Every Which Way But Loose." It was a movie as well, wasn't it, with Clint Eastwood and the
orangutan.
Yeah, Clyde.
Clyde.
Right. I think we're descending into rambling. Funnily enough.
Yeah.
That's some great. Dan is photographed inside what looks like a washing machine, but that's great. Very chromey, graphic-y.
Chromey and metal-y. That picture washed by Dan Smith reminds me of a pair of lungs or something.
Yep. Or kidney jars. Not jars. Things that when you're doing an autopsy, as I do regularly, you plonk it. You plonk them on there.
You're so experienced with autopsies.
When I'm ripping people's insides out.
Innards?
Yeah. In my room that I've got covered in plastic so the blood doesn't get out.
And on that note, I think we're going to take off. We'll have a podcast.
We don't need guests, do we? This is much more fun than talking to people.
Yeah. much more fun.
And it's an hour long. So thank you very much for people. Thank you very much, Corey. Thank you very much for people who are posting into the
Flickr
group.
There's so much here. We could have a whole show just talking about
Well, periodically, I think we should just have a catch up, you know, once or twice a year.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to go and take some pictures.
Excellent.
Should I steal Mike Gutterman's catchphrase? No, I won't do it.
Well, shoot, we can kind of do Rachel's one that we started ages ago. Shoot pinholes, be nice.
Yeah, there you go. Cool. Okay. We will talk to everybody maybe next Sunday. You want to? Maybe we'll have a
could do it. If you can get Jonas back next Sunday, I'm free. Otherwise, we'll there's a couple of other folks in the ether who I'm talking to.
Cool.
Yeah, so if Jonas is free,
we'll have him.
Get him on.
All right.
Cheers, buddy.
Will do. All right. Okay, so for a start, I'm gonna introduce our guests.
Yeah.